What's going on, people, and welcome to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. The aim of our podcast is to show you how anyone can start a business, find their dream job, or develop a revenue stream in the emerging blockchain industry. Most, if not all of our guests, started with just an idea, a few hundred dollars, and a Twitter account. Before we meet today's guest, here's a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you in assistance with our sponsors, Crypto.com and Crypto Jobs Daily. Crypto.com is a well-established platform and their mobile app offers the following features. A built-in exchange that lets you buy and sell 7 fiat and over 50 cryptocurrencies. A tiered debit card that allows users to earn crypto cash back. And so much more, including their free-for-free promotion. Our second sponsor is Crypto Jobs Daily, the number one place to find work in the blockchain industry. Users can connect with companies hiring in a few clicks and find their dream job today. For more information about both projects, you can click on the link in the description below. What's going on, people, and welcome back to the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. It's your host, GrowDigi, and today we're joined by a very special guest. We've got Andre from BaseRank. How are you, Andre?
I'm doing well. Thanks for inviting me. It's been really honored to be here.
My pleasure, and really excited to hear more about your platform today. So if we jump straight in, we mentioned you're from BaseRank. You're one of the co-founders. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your role and how this came about?
Yeah, definitely. I would like to tell you more. So the idea about BaseRank is that BaseRank is a decentralized autonomous rating organization. So basically what we are working on is to create a platform or an app that aggregates all crypto asset ratings, reviews, and research so that any investor who would like to invest in crypto assets, they have all the information on one place. So they don't have to go to many platforms. They don't have to ask their friends about which crypto is the best. They can easily go to a website. They can check a rating of a crypto asset, and they can dig in more deeper. They can read through reviews from various experts, rating agencies, experienced investors, and analysts.
Fantastic.
I mean, and so my role in BaseRank.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so my role in BaseRank, I'm one of the co-founders and also the CEO. So basically, I'm responsible for all of the business development, marketing, onboarding new people, creating the idea. So kind of as a startup co-founder, there is essentially nothing that I wouldn't be responsible for. There is so many things that I have to work on. So my role is like a more generalist role where I have to make sure that everything, all the pieces kind of come in together and create a wholesome product for the users.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like a very, very interesting platform. Talking more about BaseRank and some of the features and services available, do you want to tell us a little bit about the assets, ratings, and reviews, and some of the analysts you have on board the platform?
Yeah, definitely. So the core of BaseRank is the crowdsourced rating. We call it the BaseRank Rating TM. And the idea behind the rating is that we are not the authority who decides the rating of crypto assets. What we do is that we aggregate this from various sources. So we, for example, cooperate with rating agencies such as Flipside Crypto, West Crypto Ratings, Token Insight, and also with Proof of Review or DeFi Safety, who are independent analysts. And what we are doing is that we combine different methodologies from different analysts, different rating agencies, different investors. And the idea is that based on the crowd wisdom, we are actually able to produce the most accurate ratings that are in the market. Because if you would be using just one methodology to evaluate all the crypto assets, there's always going to be some places where the methodology doesn't work correctly. So what we are doing is that we combine all of these methodologies together and we calculate the average rating for each crypto asset. Mm-hmm. So on our platform, in order for a crypto asset to receive a rating, they need to be evaluated from at least three independent sources. So in order to receive the base rating, TM, so the overall rating. So this is kind of like the core of what we are doing. And of course, we are distributing this rating also to other platforms. So we are now actually opening this up. We created an API so that other platforms, other informational platforms or crypto exchanges, they can integrate our ratings inside of their platform, so their users can also benefit from the same information as the Basering users, because we're quite open-minded about sharing this information with as many people as possible. So that's kind of like the core of what we are doing. We really want to give this rating to as many people as possible. And then in addition to that, we also have some premium services, which are more focused on institutional investors or on professional investors who are, for example, demanding some more in-depth research. So to, for example, want to dive deeper into a specific project. So we have some more in-depth research about a specific industry, or we are, for example, comparing different tokens in one, for example, specific sector. So we are offering this as a premium service in addition to the ticket ratings. So this is something that is as a premium service or on the Basering.
Fantastic. Now, as someone who uses your platform, as we mentioned, we also publish our reviews on there. I'd highly recommend to our listeners to check out, you know, Basering. You can visit their website at www.basering.io. And I think one of the most favorite things that I liked when I came across you guys, and you mentioned it just earlier on, was the ability to take several reviews from analysts, rating agencies, and then use that confluence to actually see, do these things match up using different methodologies? I mean, I think we've seen in a report for Ethereum that had a similar score from like three or four analysts, and it really just kind of, you know, pinged off a light bulb in my head to think, wow, why have I never used anything like this before? So just wanted to ask, like, for anyone interested who's interested in using the platform, it's completely free. For the analysts out there who are interested in sharing their reviews, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, definitely they should contact me right away, because we are always looking to expand the amount of analysts that we collaborate with. Because the more analysts we work with, the more robust the rating is. So we are always open-minded to join, to have more analysts joining the platform. And of course, we're quite picky who we choose. So if someone would be interested in joining the platform, we're always looking for people who have the experience, provable experience. So for example, they are working in a crypto asset fund, or they, for example, have a long experience, or they have been publishing their own analysis already for some time, or they have been managing their personal portfolio. And then we kind of talk about this on a personal basis. And probably the best way to reach us about this would be to write an email to analysts@basering.io. So it will straight go to my inbox, and I will just process these applications. We are quite strict, I have to say, but we are open-minded about adding more people. And it's always important for us to kind of expand this community of analysts, because that's the core where the value actually is being created. So definitely, I would suggest anyone who is listening and has been analyzing crypto assets, has been successfully investing in crypto assets, reach out to us. Just send us an email. We're gonna have a look at it. We can have a call. You can chat about it. There's not like a specific criteria, like a written criteria, because everyone is different. Everyone has different experience. So we don't want to be putting people in boxes, but rather just prove us that you are good. And if you are eligible, we're going to add you to the platform, and you can evaluate crypto assets as well.
Fantastic. And the service is completely free. So again, if you're interested in sharing your content, sharing your thoughts, you've got a track record in this space of good analysis of projects, I definitely recommend reaching out to Andre and getting your content on Basering. Now, we've talked a little bit about the features that you guys have got ready already. And, you know, we know that this crypto space is always moving ahead. Like, what new things have you got coming up in the future?
Yeah, so at the moment, our priority number one is to actually spread the ratings to as many places as possible. So that's the priority number one. So users will be able to access the rating on other places as well. Because we understand that, for example, a lot of traders, they want to have the rating accessible on an exchange. So we are talking with several exchanges about adding these ratings to their platforms so they can have it readily accessible immediately when they see a trading pair. So that's one of the things that we are working on. And other things that we are working on is, for example, internally we call it like an AI tool, which basically means that we are utilizing artificial intelligence to analyze lots of data that is on social media. And our approach is that we focus on specific people. We don't want to do a sentiment. We're not doing a sentiment analysis of the whole social media place, the crypto space, but we focus just on specific people, and we analyze their sentiment. So we're using specific methodologies that are able to help us identify who are the most valuable people in the crypto space. And then we focus, what do they think about specific projects? And basically, that's something that we are working on. It's coming to BaseRank, and it's going to be part of the premium features. But the results that we have been getting now are tremendous. I think we found out a lot of these projects that are now among the most known DeFi startups. Mm-hmm. Actually, we found, like, when we were backtesting the data, we found out, like, oh, like, actually we would be able to identify it so easily before anyone even heard about the project. So there is it's so complicated, but basically what it means that we are gathering lots of data, we analyze it, and then we can identify kind of like the very interesting projects early on, even before they, for example, have a token. So because there is a lot of noise in the crypto space. Yeah. There are a lot of projects who are not developing anything interesting. And it's very difficult for an average investor to cut through all the noise. Yeah. So this tool is not designed to be like, to solve all the problems. Like, it's not gonna tell you like, okay, this is the project to invest in and you're gonna make money. It's never gonna work like that. But it's gonna make it much easier for average investors to actually cut through the noise, mm-hmm. and focus on few projects that are very interesting and they have a high potential of becoming successful in the future, because we're just focusing where does the kind of like the intelligence focuses. So it's something that is coming this year. And another thing that we would like to roll out this year is a portfolio risk analyzer. So since we have analyzed a lot of crypto assets, then we are looking how to decrease the risk of investing in crypto assets for investors. And so the portfolio risk analyzer, basically what it means is that an investor can write their portfolio in our platform, and they're just going to say, okay, I have 20% in Bitcoin, 10% in Ethereum, and then, like, for example, 5% in this and that. And then we're going to analyze the risk. And the risk is going to be based on our ratings. So It's going to be very easily we can analyze that, okay, what is the weighted score of the mm-hmm. portfolio. So for example, we can measure it on a scale from 0 to 100, and for example, if you have above 80, then you are pretty safe. But for example, if there are some investors who are exposed to something that is very risky, they're going to immediately see it, and it's going to analyze their portfolio, and it's going to tell them, like, okay, like, this asset is very risky and you are holding a big percentage. So we can analyze the portfolio of investors very easily through these ratings. So it's going to be all based on the BaseRank ratings, and we're going to analyze the whole portfolio of an investor. And based on this, we can give recommendations. For example, reduce the position in this mm-hmm. crypto assets because it's very risky. It's like the downside is too large. Or for example, diversify in these projects who have a higher rating in the same segment, and also like a lot of different things. Like, it's still in the process of we're just still thinking about this. It's not even in the development phase, but it's something that we have realized this is something that will help a lot of investors to improve their skill in investing in crypto assets tremendously. So We're always thinking like, how can we help a lot of investors with an easy to use tool?
Yeah.
On the back end, it's very complicated, but on the front end for investors, it's going to be super simple because that's what we are looking for. We are looking for helping a lot of people a lot. So what we are doing, what we are actually saying is that when someone is going to start using baseline ratings, let's say you would take a completely beginner investor. They just came to the space and they have no knowledge about crypto assets. They just learned about it in the media. Bitcoin is going up, and then you're going to find about all these altcoins. So if there is someone who doesn't have any knowledge, they're going to start investing in crypto assets. Most likely, they're going to buy some of these shit coins. They're going to lose money on a lot of them because they have no idea how to evaluate projects. So our rating can help these beginner investors. Like, our estimate is like maybe like 2 years of experience in investing in crypto assets, because you would need to spend like 2 years to actually cut through all the noise, mm-hmm. through all of the garbage that is in the crypto space, and get to a point where you understand, like, oh, I have to be looking for these things.
Right.
I have to evaluate it from this perspective. And so for a bigger investor, it's going to help, like, maybe 2 years of research on, like, every week spending, like, maybe 10 to 20 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the power of crowdsourcing the knowledge of different places. And, of course, it also saves time to people who already have the experience.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people who have the experience, they don't have the time to go through it every day.
Exactly.
For example, me, like, I'm in the crypto space now for the fifth year, and I'm still missing so many things. There
mm-hmm.
are so many interesting projects that I'm missing. But thanks to the baseline rating, I can just analyze my portfolio, and I can check, okay, I have money in these projects, but these are, for example, rated lower. So I'm going to go and check them out, and I'm going to decide, am I going to decrease my position or not? And so the idea of baseline is not to be a tool that will make everyone a millionaire. It's never going to happen, but it's going to help investors to decrease their risk tremendously. And by decreasing the risk, more of them are going to be more successful. So we are not a get rich quick scheme. We are more like don't get poor over a long period of time, because investing in cryptos is super risky,
mm-hmm.
and baseline is helping investors to decrease this risk and kind of get to the goal over a long period of time, because investing is a big portion of investing is about decreasing your risk,
yeah.
rather than increasing your upside. Because a lot of people are thinking more about the upside when they are speculating on a lot of things. They don't think so much about the downside. So that's basically what baseline is about. The ratings, it's about decreasing the risk and really focusing on the greatest projects in the crypto space.
Fantastic. And I think you make a really interesting point there. So everyone have been through this journey in crypto. When you start off, you have a very small portfolio. Your risk appetite is very high. So inevitably, you end up going all in on these smaller coins. And eventually, you get to a certain threshold when you then realize that this is serious money. And you then need to start taking more due diligence before investing, you know, big amounts into a crypto project when your portfolio is a lot bigger. So, you know, again, for any listener out there, you know, I think BaseRank is an invaluable tool, and it should be like a mandatory thing that you should be using when analyzing projects. Because as Andre said, not only is it several ratings on a coin from independent sources, also gives you then more information. And this is the key thing in crypto, right? We talked about, you know, time is money. I often think in crypto, money is time as well. You know, this space is very, you know, fast moving. You put your money into something, and if it doesn't work out, you then end up paying an education and losing that time along the way. So, you know, if you're able to use a service like BaseRank, you know, there is free services available. As Andre mentioned, there is always, it's also several premium services. I can't recommend it enough. And, you know, for any listener out there who's spent hours and days and weeks analyzing projects, you can often find that it comes to nothing, and you feel like you've wasted time and you have to trade something as a result. Now, if you're using BaseRank and these analysts are telling you no, then it's not just one person reinforcing your opinion, it's several people at once.
Yeah, exactly. It's the idea about BaseRank is that we don't want to build a cult around one analyst or one investor, because I think this is very risky. And I've seen it in the crypto space when there were influencers who would build a cult around their personality and whatever they would say, whatever they would recommend, people would buy.
Yeah.
And this is super risky, because what it creates is that these people are the center point of failure, where if they fail and they recommend a project that is not good, a lot of people are going to lose money. Whereas if there are more people who are analyzing a project, the likelihood of all of them recommending a bad project is super low. The likelihood of different analysts, let's say we have 10 analysts and all of them would agree on something, that project is very good, and even then it's so low that it's almost impossible, because there will always be someone who will have a piece of doubt. And the idea is that investors can go all through all of these ideas, through all of these opinions about the project, and they can make their own mind. They don't have to follow all the ratings. They can just go through the reviews.
Exactly.
And then if they see, for example, there are 5 investors who believe in it and 5 don't. So some people are going to decide, okay, I think these 5 reasons are reasonable why they don't believe in it, and therefore I'm not gonna participate, for example, in the token still, or I'm not gonna buy the token. And from 2017 and 2018, we've seen there have been more unsuccessful projects. So what we are also kind of like as a side product, what we actually do is actually we help the projects as well to improve themselves, because there is currently nobody who would be holding responsible to crypto asset projects. A lot of the investors, a lot of the people who are buying the tokens are actually speculators, and they're just trying to speculate on the price. But if there will be a community of analysts who are analyzing all of these projects, they can actually hold them accountable. Because if, for example, a project is going to receive a low rating,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to come to Basering and they're going to see there are 10 reviews, and all of them, for example, mention the same problem over and over again. For example, it's a DeFi project, and all of them mention your audit has been done, for example, by someone who doesn't have a reputation in the DeFi space. You should get an audit from a reputable audit company. And so they're gonna go and do it. And it's gonna help the project, it's gonna help the investors, and it's gonna help the whole ecosystem, because they're gonna decrease the risk of their project, and they're gonna help everyone. So it's kind of like this positive feedback loop, where if there is a project, they receive a bad rating, they can always improve, because the ratings, they change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that is set in stone, where a project would get a bad rating and never increase. Because if someone project gets a bad rating, it doesn't mean that they are a scam. It just means they are not good enough, so they should improve. And if they don't improve, then investors are going to know that, okay, this project has a low rating, therefore it's very risky. Let me just wait for them to increase their rating, and then I'm going to have a look at it again. So it's more like also like a positive feedback loop, where we are helping the projects as well. Of course, it's a common problem where a lot of project founders are too kind of like focused on themselves, where they think they are the best and they should get the best rating and everything. So of course, it happened to us in the past, like our projects, for example, we analyzed as very suspicious, because the idea just didn't make any sense, and we told them we should repair this and this. A lot of founders are really centered around their idea, they are egocentric. So of course it's very difficult to please everyone, but our core users are investors. So we are always accountable to investors, because we are also investors. We actually, as the founders, me and Dietrich, who started the business, we have been, I've been investing since 2016, and Dietrich has been investing in crypto assets since 2012. So we have been in the space for some time, and we kind of build this tool for ourselves to help us to really find the good projects and avoid the bad ones. And I mean, it has taken us some time to do a lot of research and develop the product, but I really feel like positive now that we achieved something that a lot of people can use and get a lot of value from it.
Most definitely. And I think just one last thing, talking about Basering in terms of the platform itself, one of the key things that I really like is that analysts are able to come on and update their ratings over time as well. So it's very much an organic process. You know, the score you see when you go on now may not be the same score that you see in 2 weeks' time, right?
Exactly, the scores change. Like, of course, we cannot say like how often it changes because it changes depending on when the ratings are updated. So, for example, there are rating agencies who update the ratings every day, and some analysts just update it, for example, once every year. It depends on each analyst what kind of methodology they decide. Some rating agencies they update it every day because it's like an automated model that evaluates a lot of data points. So it's a quantitative analysis of a lot of data points. And so it really depends. And the ratings change. That's why it's important to check it like on a regular basis.
Most definitely. Now, coming back to the journey in building BaseRank. Now, we know that building a successful blockchain startup is tough in the beginning. There's a lot of challenges. What sort of challenges have you guys faced along the way since launching BaseRank?
There have been quite many of them. I recently read the Medium article from Andre about building in DeFi sucks. Mm-hmm. And even though we are not exactly a DeFi project, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of challenges, and I would say the biggest challenge was that the space evolves super quickly. Mm-hmm. And as a first time startup founder, it has been a huge challenge because we started in 2016. We have been analyzing the space a lot. Then we developed a product. 2017, we were actually focused on ICOs. So actually BaseRank before was called ICO Index. And what we were doing was that we were analyzing ICO projects, and we are doing all the analysis on our own. We had our internal team that were analyzing the projects. Mm-hmm. And it worked pretty well. And a lot of people liked us. We were able to help a lot of people to avoid a lot of the ICO scams. But the issue was that in 2018, the whole space changed dramatically. So ICOs kind of like 2018 was the last year of ICOs, and since then there have been only a few of them. So from being named ICO Index, we had to think about, okay, what are we going to do now? How are we going to change the idea? Because ICOs are no longer interesting anymore. So we had to shift the whole business. So we shifted the business model and the whole idea. So we pivoted to a new name, which is called BaseRank, because it's neutral. It's not only about ICOs, but also the idea is that we are no longer analyzing the projects ourselves. We are now aggregating the data or the opinions from different places. And this has been a huge challenge to pivot from something different to a completely new platform. So this was one of the toughest challenges, to completely pivot the idea. And while doing that, we actually had to kind of burn down the whole business model that we had before and build a new one. And while doing that, we lost all our revenues. So as ICO Index, we had some interesting revenue that was coming from the platform, but it was no longer available, or it was no longer possible in the new business model. So we basically were out of any revenues for maybe like 2 years, and we had to fund everything on our own. So it was a huge challenge that, okay, we thought like, how are we going to fund this? Because at this point, it was a very interesting situation where in 2017, we were talking with a few investors, and they kind of expressed their interest in our startup, in our project. But we felt like, okay, we don't need money now because we are already having revenues. It's okay. We can just wait a little bit and then raise money later. This was the biggest mistake when I look back, because I learned one thing in the startup world is that you should always raise money when you don't need it.
Yeah.
And we made the mistake of not raising money when we didn't need it. And then we wanted to raise money when we really needed them, and it was impossible because it was too late. So we had to fund everything from our own pockets. So we basically bootstrapped everything. We thought like, okay, we made some money in the crypto space. We invested quite well. So let's just use some of our profits to fund BaseRank. So together with Indrik, we put a lot of our personal money in the business, and we paid for all the expenses. And I mean, it has been tough because living like this for several years without not paying a salary and actually putting money in the business has been a challenge. But I'm pretty sure that in the end it will pay off, and we are gonna help a lot of investors. We are gonna be able to build something very interesting that I know that a lot of people will value. So I think it has been worth it. It has been a challenge, a huge challenge for us, but I'm sure it was worth it.
Most definitely. Now, on a more positive note, what's something that makes you proud of when you think of the journey in building BaseRank?
Yeah, so I think as under the brand of IcyoIndex, we were actually able to help a lot of investors. We got a lot of positive feedback, is that a lot of people that were coming into space, they really had no idea about ICOs. They just heard about it. They thought it was so cool. They could make a lot of money. And we were able to help a lot of investors to avoid a lot of scams, avoid a lot of suspicious projects. But also, we were able to help find some nice unicorns, or some of the projects are now like over $1 billion valuation and their tokens. We were able to actually help investors to find them. A lot of these like DeFi projects are now, they actually raised money in 2017 as an ICO. So for example, Polkadot was one of them where we analyzed this as a very interesting project, and they had an ICO in 2017. And so, of course, people who are following us, they knew about this, and they probably participate some did, some not. I don't want to take their credit for that, because it's always the person's responsibility. But this is something that we are kind of positive that we were able to analyze these projects successfully, and we are also able to like invest on our own. And I would say other thing is that we actually never spent too much money on marketing. So a lot of the growth of BaseRank was done through organic reach, because we just share the idea in some social media and like in Facebook groups, and people just pick it up and they really like it and they share it between each other. So almost zero marketing costs. We just put like some small marketing budgets just to try a few things out. But then we realized actually if we just share it like organically, like in some spaces where people have a discussion and we just respond to their questions, it works much better than we tried to run like a paid advertising. So almost zero cost marketing, and we are able to kind of launch a very, very successful platform that is helping a lot of investors. So that's something that I'm quite proud of as well. But again, it has been a challenge too. So I would say a lot of these challenges, they turned out something that we are kind of proud of, but we're still in the beginning. So there'll be other things that we have to, of course, work on, and new challenges are coming up.
Most definitely. The space moves so fast, there'll always be something else. Now, in terms of, like, we talked a little bit earlier about, it's you and your co-founder who launched this. You didn't get any investment, and it's taken your hard work on your own to get to where you are. Do you want to tell us a little bit and give us an insight into what a typical working day or week looks like for you?
Yeah, so we usually have a stand-up call on Monday. So it's usually like where we discuss things that we worked on last week, what we're going to be working on the next week, if there were some challenges, and then we usually like break it to separate discussions. We are quite a small team, but we are like 100% remote, so we don't have any offices. Mm-hmm. So we all work remotely. We have people from Germany, from Russia, Ukraine. Before, we were working with people from India, US. So we're quite remote from the first day, and so we everything, all our communication works on Slack. Has been one of the most helpful tool as a startup, because all the communication is written down on Slack. So as a startup founder, there are so many things that, of course, I have to kind of make sure that are working. It's kind of like I see myself as the generalist, as like the idea of a generalist. I am not an expert in one specific field or any field, but I have to understand a lot of fields a little bit so that I can find the people who are going to be able to do it on a perfect level. So things, for example, I work on like updating reviews, talking to new partners, talking to our co-workers, talking with the co-founder, so many things. And it's like always every day is completely different. There is no like repetitive work for me, because it's every day is a new thing. And I always have to think, what is the priority for this month, this week, and today? Because there are so many things that we could be working on. And as a startup, you have to really prioritize. So prioritize what will have the biggest effect on, or the biggest impact on the startup and on the community as well. So it's tremendous work. It's anyone who hasn't founded a startup yet. I do recommend it to some people, but not to everyone, because it has been a challenge. I had to sacrifice a lot of things, but I'm really glad I did it now when I'm still young, mm-hmm. rather than trying to find a startup later on when I have a family. So I would say, like, now, since until people are 30, they should definitely just try to fund their own startup or work in a startup, because it's really great experience.
I agree, and I think that's great advice. And just talking about how your team has grown since you launched, what sort of qualities do you look for in new team members when they join BaseRank?
Yeah, so the growth of the team was interesting, because we kind of expanded quite a lot in 2017, but then we had to contract again because we had to release some people because we are not able to pay for their salaries. So it's very common in the startup that you have people, then that you have to leave them even though they are good. So in a corporation, this doesn't happen so often, because you just hire the people and just stay working there for a long time. In a startup, you always have to look on your financial runway. So even though you, for example, have friends working in a startup, sometimes you have to let them go, and it's something very painful. But what we are looking for in people that we want to work with is, I call it like a can-do attitude. There are people who are trying to kind of find a way how to solve a problem. Always you give them a problem, they think it's impossible, and then they, or even you think it's impossible to solve it, and they prove it's possible. So I really like this. Mm-hmm. And the people that we work with, I can say that they really have this attitude of really trying to come up with the solutions. And even sometimes I really like this probably cannot be done, so I didn't even think about it. But then they said, why don't we do this? And it's like, are you sure you can do it? It's like, well, we can try. And then they do it and they surprise me. This is the best way. If someone has this attitude of really, I can do it, or I can try to do it. And usually, like, if you really try several times, you can do impossible things, or things that you could think were impossible. So this is something that is difficult to see in the beginning, but once we see it, we know we made the right decision in the person, because you can only see it when you start working with the people. So probably this is one of the things. And of course, we want to work with people who are open-minded, who are not afraid of trying new approaches, new things. And of course, crypto space is very, very agile environment. So we want people to be agile as well in their ideas, and they need to be open-minded. And really, like, the whole crypto space is moving quite quickly. So of course, people have to be kind of used to changing their methodologies, their ideas, they have to learn fast and things like that. So yeah, things like that. That's what we are looking for.
Fantastic. So yeah, I mean, as you guys hire in the future, I'd highly recommend, if anyone's interested in joining the team, just keep an eye on the website, keep an eye on the Twitter. And, you know, if you want to join the team, feel free to reach out to Andre when you're hiring. Just as we wrap up here, Andre, it's been really interesting to hear your journey and building BaseRank, some of the features and services available, and also what new things you've got coming up in the future. Just before we go, it'd be really interesting to hear your insights. Like, where do you see the biggest opportunities for growth in the blockchain space over the next year?
Definitely DeFi. I really think that, like, DeFi is the killer, not app, but killer industry that blockchain and crypto can really revolutionize. And in 2017, there were a lot of projects that were already DeFi, but they just didn't call them DeFi yet because the term wasn't, like, used at that time. But I could see, like, in 2017, a lot of these projects were really interesting. We're coming from the finance or fintech space. So when I look at the industries where blockchain can contribute the most, I really think that money, saving, mm-hmm. insurance, investments, this is something that where it this is a space that needs disrupting, because there is so much discrimination in the world of finance. There is so much things that are not fair. For example, people from third world countries, they have such a limited access to investments. They have a limited access to actually using a stable currency. And for us, like for example, me, I'm from the Czech Republic, so our national currency, Czech koruna, is somewhat stable over the long term. But people that are from Venezuela, from Argentina, from Turkey, Zimbabwe, their currencies are falling. Like there's inflation or even a hyperinflation. And for people like from these countries, for example, the idea of money is completely different. They think about money in a completely different way. And DeFi can change this completely. And once people are going to start using stablecoins in these countries, it's going to change their whole world. It's going to change their perspective about money. They will be able to actually save money. Actually, my girlfriend is from Zimbabwe, so she told me all the stories about the hyperinflation. Mm-hmm. So she told me like the people that had money in their bank accounts, they, for example, what the government did is that they told the people, okay, you have, for example, you have US dollars in your bank account, and the next day they're going to convert it to Zim dollar. But they're going to convert it, for example, 1-to-1. And the real exchange rate is definitely not 1-to-1. That's what the bank says. Oh, this is the official exchange rate. But the black market exchange rate is, for example, 1,000-to-1. So you basically lose all your money overnight when you have it in a bank. I mean, these things don't happen in such a dramatic way in the first world countries. Yep. But they happen over a long period of time through inflation. So it's kind of like the epitome of like when you put a frog in a boiling water, it's going to jump out. But if you put it in a cold water, you're going to start boiling the water, start heating up the water until it boils. You're going to kill the frog because it's not going to notice it's being cooked. And it's the same with people who actually, with their financing being, when their like money or their savings being reduced by inflation every year. So I would say the biggest problem is in countries with a hyperinflation, and DeFi can definitely solve this. We are still quite far from like a real world application of DeFi, because a lot of the DeFi applications now are actually being used by people who are in the crypto space. So people who have crypto assets, who want to use their crypto assets for something else than just holding, they want to earn rewards from farming. And this is all nice. This is all interesting and innovative, but it's still not the real DeFi that I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to real world application of DeFi, where people are going to be using stablecoins to buy things on the market. They are going to use it in countries to buy things. Then they're going to be able to actually take this money. They're going to have a savings account that's going to generate them money. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing this, like the real world application of DeFi, because I think the term DeFi that we know as today, it includes projects that are more connected to yield farming, to connected to insurances for the smart contracts, and like flash loans and things like this, which are super great and innovative. But I really think that the killer app of DeFi is going to be a very simple app that a person that has never heard about Bitcoin and crypto can use, and they can use it to for basic things that we like. For example, I use Revolut for that. People in countries like Zimbabwe or Venezuela, they cannot use Revolut. Revolut is not available in their country. But once there is going to be an app that's available for everyone, regardless of their nationality, regardless of any other information, and this is going to be the killer app of DeFi. And this is the DeFi that I'm kind of like where I see the biggest growth potential, because decentralizing the finance actually means opening it to the world. So what will happen in the future is that a lot of these people who didn't have easy access to the world of investments and finances, they are access. And once this happens, like everyone will benefit, not only these countries, but also the other countries, because suddenly like people in a lot of these countries, they don't have banking services, they don't have cards, they cannot order stuff online from China. Once again, they're going to have the DeFi app. They're going to be able to order stuff from China. China is going to benefit. They're going to be able to buy services from all over the world. So everyone will benefit from this. So the thing about like DeFi is that now it's really like interesting, and it's like for nerds and for people who understand crypto. But in the future, DeFi, the way we're going to think about it, it's not going to be called DeFi anymore, because it's going to be just finance, because it's going to be like the basics. Like, of course it's decentralized. How else would it work? Because otherwise the government would stop it. And then people are going to be just using it. They're not going to ask the government, can I use this app? Can I download this? The governments are not going to be able to shut it down because it just works. It's the same, like people are going to be just talking to each other. So in the same way, people are going to be able to just use an app to transfer money very easily and have a stable currency, not a hyperinflationary currency. So this is the DeFi that I'm looking for, and this is where I see the biggest potential in the blockchain space.
Fantastic. No, I think that's a really good insight. And for anyone who's not aware of DeFi, you need to get to know about it sooner rather than later. As Andre mentioned, there's so many use cases that are going on right now in the background that, you know, people are probably not prepared for like the growth in all these products over the next upcoming years. Now, just before we wrap up here, so again, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show, Andre, and hear about BaseRank. In case any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, can you just drop your socials?
Yeah, so definitely you can reach at BaseRank at Twitter. Twitter handle is BaseRank1, where you can get the BaseRank. So that's the BaseRank Twitter handle. And my personal Twitter handle, I actually don't know it by heart, but I can check.
Yeah, it's, don't worry. We'll leave it in the link.
If you just put Andre Pilny in Twitter, you're probably going to find me there. I have it in there that I'm the co-founder of BaseRank, so you're going to find me there.
Fantastic. Well, we'll leave all the links in the description below, so we'll make sure that anyone wants to get in touch. But again, just before we wrap up, I'd highly recommend to our listeners, if you are trading coins, if you are an investor in cryptocurrencies, right now, utilize this information while it's available. You know, most of the services available you can see on BaseRank right now are free to use. And if you're interested in taking a deeper dive into your analysis and saving you time in the long run, I definitely recommend checking out some of the premium services on the platform as well.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
My pleasure. And we'd like to have you back on in the next 12 months to see how things are coming along.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to that.
On this episode, we're joined by Andre from BaseRank. BaseRank is a crypto asset research platform that aggregates crypto asset reviews, ratings, research and analysis of crypto assets. So let's go ahead and speak with Andre. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Blockchain Enterprises podcast. We hope you can get inspired from Andre's story and his advice. If you wish to find out more information about BaseRank, you can click the links in the description below. Finally, if you're interested in becoming a sponsor of our podcast, if you want to find work in blockchain, or if you're interested in developing more revenue streams in this space, please visit our website at www.blockchainenterprisespodcast.com.